keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch a scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind. Oh no, it's ponderoso. Dope, so no overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some house stones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on YesCY.TV. Thank you for coming back and joining us. Monday was an awesome show. If you missed it, you can go back and catch it on YouTube, YesCY.TV. YouTube channel, or you can catch it on the show archives here on UCY.TV, where you're listening from right now. And you can go check out all of our other shows as well. We're on Monday through Friday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific time, 11 to midnight Eastern. And, you know, we're just bringing this radio show. It's, you know, you never know what you're going to get, but I'll tell you what, we're always bringing something that you're not hearing on the mainstream, and that's exactly what we're going to do tonight as well. We're not going to be joined tonight by our special guest, co-host, Jake Anderson. He's actually over at Burning Man enjoying himself, hopefully. I wish I was there as well, but I'm not. I'm here with everybody else. We are joined tonight by D.B. Schwartz, my longtime co-host. How are you doing tonight, D.B.?
Doing good, Nick. Just woke up to a really weird day, and man, the anchor shooting was kind of crazy, and if you've watched the video on Live Leak, there's a lot to wonder about, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly, man. It was really, really strange, really, really strange thing. I mean, it was, it looked a lot like one of those first-person shooters, if you know what I mean, like one of those videos.
It looked like you shot blanks. I mean, how do you shoot someone point-blank in the torso and they run away screaming? And then, I mean, and then conveniently the camera, you know, doesn't show anything anymore. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying we live in the Matrix, man.
Very, very strange. Yeah, I agree with you, man. Very strange shooting. Now, what we do know is the media now, of course, you got the typical Hillary Clinton coming out pretending like she's sad. I watched the video. I think it was on CNN or something. I saw it on a video posted on Facebook. And, you know, you got Hillary up there pretending like she's almost going to cry. And that, to me, was just so fake because, you know, Hillary Clinton is responsible for how many tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of deaths? I mean, 50,000 in Libya alone, thanks to her policies and her foreign policy and her advocacy for wars overseas. You know, she's very, very reliably a war hawk. And for her to go on TV and pretend that she was about to cry over a couple people getting shot was totally bogus. And I guess everyone knows that. Secondary, you have a bunch of media people calling for, like always, banning guns and that kind of thing, gun control and that this, that, and the other. And we all know how that story goes. And then the other thing you got, and this is something that is a little bit of a bigger media picture here that we need to kind of talk about a little bit, and I want to get your input on this, DB. Is that, for one, Breitbart came out and they're kind of, you know, stoking racial fears and that kind of thing. Like, oh my God, black guy kills white people. And, And then we also know how it goes from the other side. White guy kills white cop kills black guy. And, you know, we all know that black people are getting more murdered by the cops than any other race group. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that a lot of this media stuff, they're stoking racial tensions on purpose. Now, fortunately, the people with common sense understand that, look, it's not a race war. It's not white versus black. It's we're all getting screwed in this situation by the system, and we all know that. And I think most people with common sense know that. But the media constantly is focusing on this, trying to drive a wedge between white and black, because they realize, okay, white and black people are getting more and more to the point where they don't hate each other, and they're not afraid of each other anymore. And so the media is always trying to stoke up these fears, whether it's white versus black or black versus white. You know, that's a narrative that we always need to control and make sure we try to counter. And I think most people out there listening to the show are kind of, you know, familiar with the whole, you know, show that goes on in the media that's always trying to stoke up these tensions.
If you've traveled outside of this country and talked to anybody with half a brain, they will tell you you live inside of a fake paradigm. This is not reality for the rest of the world. The scariest part about it, Nick, is we have the military, and that's why we live in this fake paradigm. We're the enforcement arm of the Trilateral Commission, the religion, banking, and we're the sword. So people need to understand everything that goes on here is scripted. I mean, everything. And it's done for a purpose, man. Today was a perfect example of that. They jumped on it right away. They tried to create division. They showed that the guy had a former past as a gay model and that he's light-skinned, so he's not really a real black guy. He doesn't really have the plight. I mean, it's just so obvious, yet my own friends fall for this bullshit time and again. And I'm telling you, man, one of these days you're going to wake up with bombs dropping and you're going to wonder why.
Well, here's the good news, man, and this is one thing that I've noticed definitely, is that, you know, we see a lot of really ignorant comments online and even in real life sometimes, of people saying a bunch of racist shit and saying a bunch of dumb shit. But the reality of it is that the most ignorant people are oftentimes the most vocal. So just because you see a few stupid comments online, don't be discouraged and think, oh, everyone's an idiot. You know, no, everyone's not an idiot. A lot of people understand what's going on. In fact, man, I know a lot of old people that are in their 70s and 80s that know what the hell's going on, and they're not they've watched TV all their entire lives, and they're not as brainwashed as you'd think they are. So, you know, don't lose hope. I think the most ignorant people, unfortunately, are the most vocal. Trump is an obvious example of that. But yeah, man, that's just one of these media narratives that's going to play out. And we know that this thing is being manufactured, at least partially, because these videos aren't being taken down. You don't see videos of someone shooting somebody on Facebook without it being taken down several minutes later. That just doesn't happen. But these videos are continuously floating around. I've seen them in my newsfeed like 20 times today. They're still up on YouTube. These are the kind of videos that get taken down right away from the internet. So you know that they're trying to push this thing up there in some kind of narrative, some kind of agenda. Don't fall for it. I'm pretty sure everyone listening tonight probably isn't falling for it anyway. I don't even have to tell you. But hopefully you can spread the word to your friends that may or may not be as enlightened as you are. Anyway, we're going to have a lot of news to cover tonight and plenty of things to go over. First of all, we have a guest on the show tonight. We have Heidi Wendell. You've been on our show previously, I think it was last year, to talk about the TPP and a few other things. I just want to welcome you back. How are you doing?
Hey, thanks, Nick, and thank you both for having me here. I appreciate the opportunity.
So, Heidi, you are an activist that closely follows what's been going on with the TPP, the TPIP, the Dark Act, and several other, you know, pertinent issues that are going on right now. And in many ways, you know, things like this shooting today, I hate to say it because it sucks. That, you know, people got hurt and you know, whatever happened over there, it's sad that someone you know, fell victim today. But at the same time, there are issues here that are much more impactful that are going to cause a lot more pain and suffering than just to one or two people that got gunned down. We're talking about trade deals that are going to impact hundreds of millions and billions of people, because I think this... the TPP encompasses like 40% of the world's GDP or something like that. That's got to be, you know, 3 or 4 billion people. So, Heidi, I just want to give you an opportunity to give people a quick introduction to the TPP, because I think a lot of people, because the media just doesn't talk about this thing. A lot of people probably don't even know what it is. So if we can get a quick intro about what the TPP is to get us started here, that'd be great.
You bet. And if I go too long, just interrupt me. It's perfectly fine. Okay. And first, I want to thank you for, you know, what you just said about, you know, the shooting. And that was my first take on it, too. And when I that was just my take when I saw it, what you guys were talking about, or when I heard of it and when I saw it. I just very suspicious as well. And I think that's one of the things, like what you're saying, is that we need to do also is to help educate our friends and families and neighbors about the distractions that the false flags and these kinds of things that happen. I used to be a magician and a clown when I was back in college just for fun. And that's exactly what you do, you know, when you're doing a trick. You do something fancy and elegant, you know, with one hand, and you get everybody looking over there. And on the other one, you know, you're doing something really simple, and then boom, you know, people think you did this amazing thing or whatever. And we just don't teach people to think enough. And my background's in education, and I know I did, but in general, unfortunately, we don't. But anyway, so the TPP is the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and it's they call it a free trade deal. But actually, it's a treaty, and they, you know, use the name free trade to make it sound like it's a good thing. And even you'll hear people talk about, you know, Congress members, well, they're a pro-trade. And really, when anybody's for this TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or the European version, which is the TTIP, or there's another one, a services agreement called the TISA, when anybody's for those, it's a huge red flag that they are a corporatist, that they're sold out to the corporations. Basically, the first one coming down the pike, though, is the TPP. It's been written over the past 6 to 8 years in secret by 600 corporate advisors. So now we have this document, this massive document that's like NAFTA, if anybody's ever heard of that. Bill Clinton put that in the mid-90s, North American Free Trade Agreement, which I thought was a good thing about till 2 years ago. I was totally apolitical, so I didn't know these things. But anyway,
I just want to interrupt you before you go any further, because this is pretty important here about what you're saying about NAFTA. Now, I think a lot of people are pretty familiar with NAFTA. NAFTA had major implications. I mean, NAFTA really gutted Mexico's economy, while at the same time, it transferred many well-paying jobs from the U.S. down to Mexico. But now that would be, you know, it wouldn't be so bad if we were like, okay, yeah, well, at least the Mexicans got a bunch of good jobs. But that's not the case. Unfortunately, the case that actually happened was that it created a very much feudal economy down in Mexico, where because they have basically no labor standards, very low standards of living, and almost pseudo slave-like labor conditions for the people working down there. In fact, just 2.5 hours south of where I live, San Diego, is a place called San Quintin, down in Mexico, where it's an agricultural community. And because of NAFTA, the people down there are working, and most of these people are indigenous Native Americans from Mexico that they ship in. They sell them this false idea that they're going to make all this prosperity, make a bunch of money. They ship them into these farms. They pay these guys $5 a day. $5 a day, and guess who they're working for? American corporations, and they're growing the strawberries that all of us eat. And these strawberries are being grown by pseudo slave labor. And what happened several months ago, these guys went on strike to go and try to get, they're trying to get $2.50 an hour. They went on strike to get $2.50 an hour. You know what happened? The cops went in and beat the living shit out of these people and forced them back to work. That's what NAFTA did. Sorry, I hate to interrupt you.
That's perfect.
Here's one caveat that I just want to mention, and it mirrors exactly what's going on now. As you mentioned, Clinton was the one that passed NAFTA into law. Now, typically you would see the Democrats opposing NAFTA, but since they had the Democratic president, it kind of silenced a lot of those critics. And then the Republican Congress were the ones that really backed him up on it. And this is exactly what we're seeing happen with Obama and the TPP. Obama has been the biggest cheerleader for the TPP. Meanwhile, the people doing all the footwork are the Republicans in Congress. Heidi, go ahead.
Right. You're absolutely right. And the thing about Clinton pushing it in, Bush wanted it, and then he passed it off to Clinton because Bush wasn't going to get NAFTA. And so then Clinton did, and he also got it pushed through with the fast-track bill, which which Congress just passed a new fast-track bill in May, which basically neuters Congress from doing their congressional duty of due diligence and making sure every piece of that over 2,000 pages of the TPP is good for American citizens. And this fast-track bill, basically Congress gave over their constitutional duty, which under Article 1, Section 8, says that Congress is to be the ones that regulate trade. They gave that over to the executive branch, and so what that means is Obama can go with these other 11 trade rim or Pacific Rim countries, and he can sign off on it. He can sign on it with all those other ones, and then he brings it back, and he would give it to Congress. And then what the fast track does, it basically handcuffs Congress. They let the president put the timeline on how much time they have with it. So it's fast track. They limit themselves in the House to 60 days, and they limit themselves in the Senate for 90 days. However, they don't have to use that full time frame. So the thing is once the TPP was introduced, they could, you know, turn it around in a couple of weeks and sign on it. So, you know, it's a false perception for people to think, oh, well, we've got 3 months, because that could not be the situation. So fast track also neuters Congress in a couple other ways, and one of that is that it limits debate. And I think in the House I was reading something like 180 minutes. Seconds. Go ahead. Yeah.
I just wanted to, I'm on the road right now, and I didn't even make it to the premiere of 43 students that were killing Guerrero. But I just want to mention, being from Mexico and being a migrant worker and stuff like that, if you can ask anybody, people like myself and everybody, does not to work for you? No, it didn't work for us. It worked for the elite people down there. It worked for the not control. It worked for everybody else, but it didn't work for the indigenous people, and it definitely didn't work for the migrant workers and stuff like that. So it's just kind of sad that what the United States is doing. It's a crime for all these companies down there. NAFTA, the people that exist in NAFTA are companies like Walmart, Driscoll, and I can go on and on and on and on and stuff like that. But I'm on the road and stuff like that, and so I just wanted to appreciate, you know, Heidi, what you're doing. When you said American citizens, I know you meant U.S. citizens. You know, I kind of want to throw that out because I know what you meant, but you know how it is. American citizens in Mexico, Americans like myself that come from Latin America, are getting screwed by U.S. citizens that are passing laws, and I mean U.S. citizens down there in Washington are passing laws to screw people up, like my brothers in San Quintín, people like myself, and stuff like that. And then people beat us up for being activists out there. And that's like, I took such a beating, but I won't go into that. Coming back this year, stuff like that, you know? So appreciate it, Heidi, what you're doing. Have a great show, stuff like that. We'll be in contact, and hasta la vista, okay?
Manny, thanks for calling in, man. Feel free to call back when you get a little time. We want to talk about what we were talking about earlier today, if you have a chance. But yeah, man, I mean, this is the thing with these trade agreements, is that they're sold to us as these economic, you know, these programs that are going to help us economically. But as Manny was mentioning, the only people that really benefited from NAFTA wasn't the workers in the U.S. They told, oh yeah, the workers in the U.S. are going to benefit from this, and it's going to help the Mexican economy as well. But you know, the truth of the matter is that it's a small handful of elite CEOs that make a shitload of profit from exploiting third world labor. And to me, that's, you know, in many ways, that's what the TPP is about. It's just NAFTA, but NAFTA was only several countries, Canada, U.S., Mexico. The TPP is now 40% of the world's GDP, right, Heidi?
Yep. And if they get the European version, the TTIP, then that's 60%. Or over 60%, yeah, it is. And, you know, just to add on to what Manny and what you were saying, too, about Mexico, one of the things that people don't realize either is because of NAFTA and because of how it displaced, like, even farmers, you know, because the big ag like Monsanto and then went in and took out all these little small farmers because they couldn't compete. And then what happened is then they started coming up north to the United States looking for jobs. And so what you know, you would hear people is like, oh, you know, they're just coming over in streams and that's terrible. They shouldn't be coming. And, you know, the TV would show pictures of, you know, all the trash, you know, of them coming and stuff. And the thing was, people didn't realize it, that our country created that situation, you know, for them to be in that situation where they were trying to figure out, you know, how to feed their family. And so it's really frustrating. And everything you guys said, you know, it's just, but then they spin it. You know, they turn it around and so what they put out in the media, there needs to be a law against that. You know, where that's one of the things we're talking about, is the things that we need to change. And I think that's one of the things, is that we need to have a sense of accountability. And with politicians, you know, when they put bills up, you know, they label them, you know, like this DARK Act that we're going to talk about in a second, which basically is taking away the right to know what's in our food. It's really labeled, I don't have my internet up, but it's the Free and Safe Food Labeling Act or something like that. Free and safe, you know.
And it's
safe for corporate profits. I mean, look at where your shrimp comes from. It's Vietnam cesspools. I mean, that's what's going to happen. It's kind of like what they're doing right now with trade wars, but it's going to come down on us when TPP passes and you're competing with people making 37 cents an hour and you're working in some fast food restaurant, you're gone. I mean, they're going to replace you. That's what the TPP is really about. The TPP is bringing us into a post-scarcity world, except guess what? If you don't have money already, you're not going to be making any.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. And Heidi, before we move on, because there's several more things I want to talk about the TPP. First of all,
sure.
Malaysia is a party of this agreement, and now Malaysia has been well documented as a nation that exploits not only just slave labor, but sex slavery, child trafficking, and all these different horrible, horrible crimes against humanity. Yet at the same time, this is a country that Obama wants to, you know, include in this big trade agreement. In fact, we covered this on the anti-media several weeks ago. They actually reduced the standards of these blacklisted countries that we're not supposed to do any dealings with because they're so egregious on human rights, which formerly included Malaysia. Obama changed the standards and he lowered the standards where he's like, okay, now, yeah, we changed the words and the language. Even though they're horrible and egregious on human rights, it's okay now since we changed the rules. It's kind of like what they did after Fukushima, where they said, oh, yeah, we're going to just up the okay limit of radiation 300%. Now it's okay. And this is the exact same thing that they're doing with Malaysia. What do you know about that?
You basically covered the basics of it as far as what I would have to say. But you're right, you know, about them changing the rules, and they did the same thing with glyphosate. You know, was it 2 years ago, you know, which is Roundup. You know, there was a certain level, and then when all of a sudden that level of Roundup is showing up in people's bodies, then they changed those rules and said that, oh, well, really it's safe to have this much level. So that's, you know, part of this shell game that they play, and that's part of what we're moving towards in the super town hall that activists are planning across the nation. And, you know, I stopped using the word activist. It's kind of funny because somebody says, well, what should we call you, an activist? And I'm like, I don't know. It kind of sounds, I don't know what it sounds. And they said, well, you know, you're a rainmaker. You know, like the Native Americans that do the dances to get rain to come. And I'm like, you know, I like that, rainmaker.
Hey, I believe it. I think you're a rainmaker too because of the awesome work you do. Now, we got the basics out there about this TPP. I'm pretty sure everyone listening now kind of understands why it's relatively bad deal. It's being pushed through by the Obama administration. All the footwork is being done by the Republicans in Congress. And we all know whose pocket they're all in and whose pocket Obama's in. I mean, they're working for the elites. They're working for the multinational corporations that are getting ready to ditch American labor, what's left of it anyway, and go ahead and exploit pseudo-slave labor around the world, 40% of the GDP. I mean, we're talking about all the countries that surround China. Now, keep in mind, China is specifically left out of this deal because we're working on World War III economically with China right now, and we're trying to contain them economically. Proof in the pudding is their stock market down, what, 40% in the last 3 months. We talked about that extensively on Monday. If you want to go back and listen to that, go back to our show on Monday, UCY TV on YouTube. You could find it there. But, you know, I mean, The thing about this TPP thing is that, one, it's being completely blacked out in the media, so a lot of people don't know about it. So the few people that do know about it, everyone listening tonight, the networks that we have, the activists that are out there that are doing the work, what can we do to go about trying to stop this thing?
Right. And that's what we're doing because it's been pretty appalling, you know, over the last 2 or 3 years, people working on the issues, you know, Martinez Monsanto, working and moving for GMO labeling and bans on GMOs in different counties where they're trying to grow organic seeds, you know, so they're not contaminated by these GMO products and those kinds of things. And why this all came about, these super town halls, is that, you know, we're seeing people getting, you know, frustrated. It's like, you know, okay, we're doing these things. We're making the phone calls, writing the letters, meeting with them in their offices, having protests, whatever, and it doesn't matter what we do. They still vote the way they want to. And, you know, they're voting the way they want to because they're getting paid off. And you know, people have posted, you know, like just on this, the DARK Act bill, which is the taking away the right to know what's in our food and not allowing states' rights to be able to have our own laws, our own state laws that the people want to label GMO foods or bans even. Anyway, so the point coming out of all this is that, okay, we've played that game, right? We played by the rules and it's not working. So, you know, it's like Einstein says that, you know, the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome. So part of what this is all about, we're having a super town hall. The first one is September 1st, next Tuesday at 6:30 Mountain Time, 8:30 Eastern Time. And part of what this is about is starting to change the story, of what we're thinking, change the story of what we think is possible, change the story about what we do, what we don't do, and expectations, and everything. We have to start thinking differently and acting differently. And so that's what this is about. And go ahead and stop me again if you need to. So basically, the Supertown Hall, it's coming together. It's activist rainmakers from all over the nation, and they are coming together, you know, to help put this whole thing together. And there'll be a mishmash of you know, people talking. You know, we're going to live stream the whole thing, and then we're going to have like videos, snippets of video of different people talking. And we're going to have Zen Honeycutt with Moms Across America. We're going to have somebody, you know, talk about the bees and some neo-Nick bands that we want to see. You know, they've been taking place like Portland and Washington and Eugene, and there's another place that just got one. But we're going to take that and make it so that step by step, we're going to push that out to the nation, that by next summer, you know, we want every community to have a ban on neonicotinoids, which is one of the biocides that is killing our bees off. Our bees are in huge trouble. And so that's one of the pieces. So we're going to have different people sharing about these about things that are going on, and then about solutions, realistic solutions. So like Moms Across America, Zen Honeycutt's going to talk about, you know, last year we had breastfeeding moms across the nation that submitted urine and breast milk, and the results came back that there were glyphosates in urine and breast milk. And so a group went to testify at the FDA last May, and, you know, for 2.5 hours, and I listened in on the call, and they, you know, it was amazing how the FDA, you know, they just kept dancing and basically supporting the corporations. It was amazing. A year later, they hadn't done anything, you know. And anyway, and then now in Germany, even, they're telling breastfeeding moms, you know, not to feed their babies. Just real quick, though, so breastfeeding moms know, Zen said that if they go 100% organic, that within the first week, they are 90% cleared, their breast milk 90% cleared of glyphosate Roundup. And after 2 weeks of going 100% organic, that their breast milk would be 100% clear. So I think that's great. That's good hope and another point to be, you know, going organic. But anyway, so changing the story. We'll have people talking about different issues. And, of course, the number one issue is the DARK Act right now, because word out is that it's on the docket. I'm not sure, you know, where it is on anything. I don't think it's even really been introduced, but apparently it's on the docket. And Congress goes back September 7th, and it could pop up even within the next 2 weeks. We were in an act.
Just so people know what the Dark Act is, it's also known as the Safe. What was it known as again? I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I was hoping you pulled it up. Say that on my internet. It's like Safe and I don't know. You can pull it up. Safe something about labeling food. Safe something.
It's a very misleadingly named piece of legislation about how it's a safe and responsible labeling of our food, more or less. But it's called the Dark Act because what it actually is it's a move by the big food industry and biotech giants like Monsanto to try to more or less ban these local bans on labeling GMOs or local bans and local labeling initiatives that several communities have passed, including the state of Vermont and several counties in Oregon and California and elsewhere have already passed, you know, GMO mandatory GMO labeling laws, which, you know, of course, people agree or disagree on. But, you know, I don't believe in federal government. I believe in local government. And if a local government, people in those communities decide they want to label GMOs, more power to them. But what this act does is it makes that illegal. It bans that, you know. And
think about who it affects, Nick, too.
So,
I mean, it creates these food deserts that are literally just toxic, barren wastelands because people with money are going to buy things that say GMO project certified, not non-GMO. They're going to buy organic from CSAs. People with means they're already not eating this stuff. So this is a war on the poor from a level that people can't even fathom right now.
Yeah, man, that's a great point. And the food system is very regressive, and unfortunately, the people that are, you know, middle class and above that, they have the option to choose to eat certain foods and better foods and stuff like that. And people that are poor, you know, they eat the subsidized foods, which are these crappy, you know, pesticide-ridden processed foods with a bunch of starch and refined sugars and genetically modified crops that are resistant to glyphosate, which winds up in the food and in the breast milk, as Heidi was mentioning. I mean, you don't want infants drinking glyphosate milk. I mean, come on, dude, that's not a good idea. You don't want your kids drinking breast milk that's laced with pesticides. And now as we continue into this Dark Act, we have one of our journalists in studio with us tonight, Jonathan Schoenfeld, and he's going to talk about some research that he's also been doing on a study that came out recently from Norway, I think it was, right?
Correct. Yeah, that's Norway.
So there was a study out of Norway recently that really calls into question almost all of the science behind genetically modified crops because their methods, their scientific methods that they've been using to prove that these crops are supposedly safe, is relatively flawed. So first, let's get into this Dark Act with Heidi and let us know what that's all about, and then we're gonna jump into this study once we're done with that.
Okay, so what do you? Oh, let me just add something real quick for people who are listening. That you know, this Roundup, this glyphosate, which is the main ingredient in Roundup weed killer, just not too long ago, within the last several months, the World Health Organization deemed it as a probable carcinogen. So that's really big. You know, that's huge that they came out finally that they're, you know, damage being done. And just real quick before I forget, I want to touch back on why, back on the fast track just for a second, some of the reasons why it's really bad is that it's in place for 6 years. So through the Obama administration and then whoever the next president is. So that's another reason why we don't want it. And then the other piece is this treasonous piece of legislation. Sorry, I don't think that's me. Anyway, it really is a treasonous piece of legislation. If you look up Webster's Dictionary definition of treason, at the end of the time period that they have it, when they do vote, that Congress can only vote up or down. They can make no amendments whatsoever, no additions and no subtractions to that over 2,000-page document. Remember, that was written in secret by 600 corporate advisors. So I just want to make sure that people really get how bad this fast track thing is. So what else about the Dark Act? it's just coming up soon, and that's why we're doing this really fast. Some people are like, well, you know, this, yeah, this is really fast. I was like, yeah, it is happening really fast, and this is why. You know, this timeline is not my timeline at all. I have a ton of stuff I need to be doing. And I even asked one of my mentors, it's like, is there any way, you know, I could wait till like October, November? It's like, no. Okay. I'm on it.
Yeah, this activism work just never stops because it's a constant shit show that they're throwing at us with, you know, from so many different sides. And honestly, it's by design. I mean, if it's not foreign policy and, you know, ISIS and us going back into Iraq and bombing in Syria and Ukraine and arming rebels here and there, it's the TPP. And if it's not the TPP, it's you know, all this other stuff, gun control and all, you know, you name it. I mean, they're trying to do all kinds of things on different fronts. They're trying to spread people thin. That's why it's so important that we have, you know, dedicated people that are willing to, you know, challenge this stuff at every angle, all every day. Now this Dark Act, it's
okay,
now becoming more relevant than ever. As you noted, as you mentioned, the World Health Organization recently called into question the safety of glyphosate. Now, keep in mind that most genetically modified crops, many of them are resistant to glyphosate. Roundup Ready crops, Monsanto's patented product, meaning that they can plant this stuff and they could spray a shitload of glyphosate on the crops and it won't kill the crops. But the problem is, one, it absorbs into the crop. Two, it goes down into the groundwater and absorbs into the drinking water for people that live in and around these areas where they grow the crops. There's a huge epidemic right now in Argentina in these places where they grow the Roundup Ready soybeans, and all the people are drinking this water, and they're getting really sick with kidney disease. Same exact phenomena is going on in Sri Lanka. We've covered that recently on the anti-media as well. And it's not... per se the glyphosate killing them, but the glyphosate combined with other environmental factors that leads to uptake into the kidneys, and it's causing a bunch of kidney disease and these really horrible problems in these communities. And Sri Lanka recently banned the glyphosate because of it. Argentina is trying to do the same thing. They're meeting a lot of resistance from companies like Monsanto lobbying their government and trying to keep that stuff in place, as well as Brazil. And here in the U.S., I mean, it's used on a lot of the corn, a lot of the soybeans that are being grown. And that's why...
Right, and also,
go ahead.
Oh, just real quick, also the other thing is to remember that it's not just used on GMO foods. GMO foods definitely have it, because that's why they genetically engineer it, so that they can put these biocides on them. But the other thing is that they also use it on quote-unquote conventional food that's not GMO, like, for example, wheat. After the wheat is cut, they'll spray it with Roundup, and I believe it's to kill, you know, the bugs and stuff on it, but it's part of the harvesting process. And also, you know, so like Cheerios is, you know, they have on there, I think, don't they say it's GMO free, but it still has glyphosate on it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a huge problem. I want to bring Jonathan into this because, as we mentioned with the whole Dark Act, what it does is it overrides any kind of local GMO labeling, state GMO labeling, any kind of GMO labeling. And if this thing passes, you know, GMO labeling is just, it's not going to happen at the federal level for another, you know, who knows how long, because of, you know, obviously with Congress being dysfunctional, the next president coming in likely to be a Republican. I mean, even with Obama, he's not trying to challenge this. The Republicans even less are less likely to challenge it. So I want to bring Jonathan in here because, you know, the reason why many people are starting to want to, you know, advocate for GMO labeling is because there's been so many questions going around now as to whether these crops are actually safe, and maybe not just the crops. And, you know, many people say, okay, the GMO crops may or may not be safe. But we're starting to realize now for sure that the Roundup Ready crops are not a good idea. You know what I mean? So I want to bring Jonathan into this because he's been doing a lot of research on the methods that they're using to study, you know, to study a lot of these crops and how they go about doing it. And just a quick mention, Jonathan's also working on his doctoral, right? Eventually he's working towards his doctoral and stuff like that. So he's got a lot of knowledge when it comes to the scientific methods and all that stuff. Go ahead, man. Let us know what you found out about, you know, how this research is being conducted.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. And I'd just like to elaborate a little bit on the difference between conventional crops and GMO crops. So, as you mentioned, they both do use pesticides. The difference between the two would just be that the GMO is the GMO seed, which is most of the time the Roundup Ready modifications to the seeds. But and the conventional crops, they don't have the GMO seeds, but they do. They can still use the pesticides during the growing process. And so this study conducted by the
The environmental
Norwegian government environmental agency. Basically, they didn't take all of the GMO foods or seeds and analyze it. What they focused on was the Roundup Ready soybeans that were attempted to be submitted to Brazil by Monsanto. And Monsanto, they submitted a ton of research and so forth.
Yeah, and so Monsanto has a bunch of this research that kind of, quote-unquote, reinforces the supposed safety of these crops, right? And so these Norwegian researchers from the Arctic University of Norway basically looked into the research, and they made a study out of, you know, looking at that research, right?
Correct. Yeah, they analyzed the research, and I don't know if many people are aware, but when it comes to research, just because it's science doesn't mean that it's 100% true. There's tricks that scientists and researchers do in order to manipulate evidence. I mean, for a various number of reasons. Sometimes it's you know, from outside parties, whoever's funding the research. Sometimes it's a conflict of interest there. Sometimes it's just the researcher themselves trying to apply a popular protocol method, and, you know, yeah, so they can get a specific result and then have their name published in a journal, and then, you know, and they're able to have their PhD, you know, because in order to get your PhD, you have to be published in a scientific journal, depending on which
what field you're in.
What field you're in, correct.
And who owns those journals?
Correct. And so, I mean, when you get published in a journal, it looks great, but to tell you the truth, over half of the time, a lot of that evidence is forged. And, I mean, I've been talking to the a professor at a major university who's ahead of one of the engineering fields, and he was mentioning that, you know, there's a lot of ethics that just gets thrown out the window when it comes to research, you know, when it comes to environmental ethics and just human ethics in general, because these people, they know that they're manipulating the data, and they really, you know, that they're willing to just, you know, throw that out the window just because they want to advance their careers.
Exactly, man. And sometimes, of course, you have scientists that are trying to prove their hypothesis, and so there's somewhat of a bias there, and that's lesser of a problem, I think. But one of the problems that we're looking into here with Jonathan, his article is going to be coming out relatively soon, probably early next week, because we're still talking with this professor to get some statements from him. But what happened to this professor that we're talking to is that he was commissioned to do a study on water quality in an area where his school is at, where his college is at, and when the results that he from the study that he conducted, when the results didn't match the results that the people that were financing the study, the results that they were looking for, well, what happened next, Brian?
So basically, they tried to discredit his study, and, you know, they had people, you know, so-called alternative experts that came in and say, like, oh, you know, like, the protocol that you used, you know, isn't sufficient enough to prove this. So, you know, they basically discredited his study and didn't provide any further funds for the study and finish the study so that they can acquire the necessary results for their finances, because basically they spent $70,000 on the initial study. They would spend another $40,000, which would be a total of $100,000 for the total study. And then what would happen then is when they, if they get results that the water quality is poor, they'd get about $100 million from the government.
Yeah, because if the study came out to the results that they were looking for, then they're going to get this huge government contract because then they're going to get to go clean up that water. When this professor found that the water quality was actually better than everyone thought, or better at least than this company thought it was going to be, well, as soon as those results came out, they immediately tried to discredit everything about his study. You know, even though they just got done paying him to commit this study, you know, and so what we're talking about here with this professor, we're talking about a relatively small company, right? What we're talking about with this GMO labeling processing, we're talking about Monsanto, we're talking about Nestle, we're talking about Syngenta, some of the biggest companies in the world with huge connections. I mean, Nestle is tied in with the CFR, and Monsanto has got people in the FDA and the Supreme Court. I mean, their connections and their resources are enormous. So when studies come out, when scientists actually publish studies against anything that goes against their narrative, I mean, they're faced with a huge ostracization process. In fact, there was a guy that was actually working for Syngenta, did a study. And he was in a TED talk, and when he did a study that showed one of their pesticides was causing frogs to they were causing sex changes in frogs, and it was also causing he found that it was causing breast cancer in small mammals. Man, they went to the extent of even spying on this guy's communications. Anyone could look that up. Go look that up. Syngenta scientists spied on the pesticide called atrazine. Now the conflict of interest there was that they made this pesticide that was found to cause breast cancer in small mammals, which shows that it most likely also caused breast cancer in humans. They also made drugs in a subsidiary company of Syngenta called Novartis, which is a drug company. They made drugs to treat the same exact form of breast cancer that was being caused by their pesticide. Huge conflict of interest. The scientist that discovered it was completely ostracized, and they tried to discredit him to the max. And this is why so many people are starting to question the safety of GMO foods, because people are starting to realize, okay, this stuff isn't adding up. Why is the former attorney of Monsanto now head of the FDA? Why is the former attorney of Monsanto now in the Supreme Court? Why is that same guy in the Supreme Court, Clarence Thomas, ruling in favor of Monsanto in cases? You know, and people are starting to realize, okay, this isn't added up. Maybe we need to start labeling GMOs so at least the people that think that there's something wrong with them can make a choice and say, okay, we don't want that. Now, you got these big food companies coming in with the Dark Act, and like I said, it's completely misleading the name that they gave it, which is a Safe and Responsible Food Act or whatever. And at the same time, they're trying to blanketly say, okay, nobody can label GMOs. I don't care if California votes for it, Vermont votes for it, or if just a county, Jackson County, Oregon votes for it. I don't care. You guys just can't label it because the federal government says so. This is a huge problem, and it's not getting very much attention at all from the media. And you know, the activists are talking about it, but this is something that really needs to be, you know, pushed forward, and you know, really needs to be talked about a lot more. Jonathan, I think you had one more thing to add about this. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add, there is a form of labeling that you can see from fruits and vegetables that kind of indicates whether it's GMO or not. If it's four numbers and it starts with a 4, then that indicates that it's conventionally grown. If it's 4 numbers and starts with an 8, that means it's GMO. Excuse me, 5 numbers and starts with an 8 is GMO, and 5 numbers that starts with a 9 is organic. So you can, it doesn't necessarily say, oh, this is GMO, this is conventionally, or so it does say organic usually, but you can definitely differentiate that and kind of make choices based off of that.
Awesome, man.
Isn't it what starts with a 5 is GMO, right?
I believe it's an 8. 5 numbers and starts with an 8 is
GMO.
Yeah,
5 numbers.
And 3 is organic, right?
And 4 numbers is conventionally, and 5 numbers starts with a 9 is organic.
Okay.
So, I mean, the easiest way to go about it is buying stuff that's labeled organic or labeled non-GMO, of course. Now, you know, and it's still, now here's the thing, like there's still, the research is still kind of relatively up in the air. What the study from Norway is saying is that just that the research saying that it's safe is not complete and not fully accurate. It's not saying, okay, they're not really saying that much that it's, okay, this stuff is really bad per se, but what they're saying is that the evidence that's been presented by Monsanto for the Roundup Ready soybean is incomplete, and it does not prove that it's safe.
they're using methods that kind of it takes away from real field conditions. So, you know, they can come up with these studies where it's not based off of an actual farm. It's more of like laboratory controlled environment. So it's not a legitimate study.
It's not real.
I mean, there's so many tricks that they use. You know, they look for, oh, this isn't causing harm, you know, rather than is it actually doing any good? You know, like is it actually safe? You know, they're using so many,
yeah, exactly,
so many different methods.
They're not studying if the product is safe. They're studying, is it causing harm? And when they do study it, it's in a lab condition. It's not in the real world. They're not studying the groundwater, the runoff, and all that stuff that's going
on.
Yeah,
they're not studying all the variables. They'll focus more on like one particular aspect of a short-term issue, health issue, rather than is it causing any health issues overall in the short term, or is it causing any health issues overall in the long term? They'll just focus on one thing in a short term so that the likelihood of coming up with positive data is a lot more likely.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks for sharing that with us. We're going to have this really awesome story coming out hopefully next week on this exclusive with this professor that was basically censored or ostracized because his study didn't line up with corporate interests. And it's also going to tie into this Norwegian study as well. And that'll be out by Jonathan Schoenfeld later on. Keep an eye on that on the anti-media. Heidi, I want to give you one more opportunity to anything else you want to add about the DARC Act? What can people do to help fight against it? Anything else you want to add before we jump into a few more news stories?
Yeah, thank you. And just real quick on the labeling piece, you know, just because you can go to your produce and look at those little labels, the thing is when you're reading a ingredients list on anything, if we have the DARC Act, which takes away our right to know, they can put soy in a product, but then they don't have to say it's organic. Or they call sweeteners, you know, natural now. They're calling corn syrup natural and things like that, where they'd have to say it's genetically engineered. So, you know, it goes a lot deeper. But the point is, and it goes back to all of us, is that we have a right to know, no matter what's going on with the science or whatever people arguments want to have. Moms, especially, are saying we have a right to know what's in our food, and states have the right to decide that. And the DARC Act would take that away. So what we're doing a lot of different things. I talked about the Super Town Hall, which we're having on September 1st at 8:30 Eastern Time. And the point is that there's going to be the Super Town Hall, and then there are people signing up all across the nation to be a part of it. They're going to be in the satellites, and we will live stream out to all the satellites, and we'll be connected in the Super Town Hall in that way. And part of what we'll be doing is bringing up these issues, the DARC Act. We're going to talk about the TPP. We're going to talk about repealing the fast track. We're going to talk about congressional accountability, transparency in what they're doing, truth in labeling, you know, their own bills, and accountability. If they stand up and lie to us on the media, they need to be accountable for that, and we need to be able to nail them. One of the things that we want to go for at this point in time, a lot of people don't realize that at the national level, there is nothing in place that says we can or we cannot recall our U.S. Congress members. One of the things we want a citizen-led amendment to the Constitution that gives the citizens, the constituents, a simple process to recall our U.S. Congress members because they're rogue. They get vote, and we want Citizens United next. You know, those kinds of things, because we have to level the playing field, and we need people like you, Nick, to be a senator. I'm serious.
We need to get rid of senators because that's royalty right there. I mean,
if we have an accountability system, well, number one, we need checks and balances. We need to have a way that we can fire them. There's nothing we can do right now to get rid of them except to wait until after their six-year term is up and try to vote them out. And now they're just thumbing their nose at us. Because why? Because of the Citizens United. Because when it comes back to election time, they're thinking, oh, all the people are going to forget, and I'm going to get so much Coke money or just multinational corporation money that I'm going to saturate the media. and they're not going to know any different. And so we need a way to hold them accountable and fire them.
Heidi, great point there. I want to just real quick before you go, how can people join this Super Town Hall real quick?
Okay, well, first thing you can do is you can go on Facebook and you can look under SOS-USA. It's up there, and it'll be Be Against Monsanto is also sponsoring it. And if you're not on Facebook, you can use this tiny, I'll give you this link. It's tiny.cc/SuperTownHallSignup. And so I'll say it one more time, tiny.cc, like cat, tiny.cc/SuperTownHallSignup. And you'll get more information, and it'll, if you are on Facebook, it'll also take you where to, and it'll take you also to some different ways to help market your event, because we're asking everybody to market their own events. One more thing on the DART Act, we're also rolling out at the Super Town Hall postcard campaign to the senators, and we have a great postcard that talks about that if we don't have the right for transparency and labeling, the free market can't work. So anybody who's screaming about the free market, there's no way it can work if people don't have the information to make those choices. And there's some other points on there like that. But
yeah, we don't, exactly. We don't need a veiled market. We need a transparent marketplace.
Right, so September 1st, 8:30 p.m., Tuesday, next Tuesday.
Awesome, Heidi. We're going to try to put a post out on that on the anti-media. Keep an eye out for that. Thank you for calling in. Yep. Wonderful conversation, and thank you for enlightening us on the TPP and the DART Act. And we'll have you back as soon as possible. Thanks, Heidi.
Yeah, and I thank you guys. Bye-bye.
Peace. I'm sure everyone's got plenty to say here already on the call. I have a caller on. Sorry, I had to ignore a bunch of calls on the show tonight because we had this special guest on. Just to keep in mind, if you do call in the future, keep your mic muted and your radio turned off until we get to you, and we'll get to you via your area code. But I want to get to our caller quickly from 414 area code. How you doing? You're on the anti-media. What do you want to talk about? All right, so 414, if you're...
I think he's busy voting.
Hopefully he's not watching Fox News and Donald Trump. Manny's back on the line, though. What's up, Manny?
Hey, what's up? It's all like, just wanted to mention, basically, the LGBT conference, where 25 delegates from 25 different countries came out to Monday to the center, stuff like that. It was great hearing the story on transgender, gay issues, lesbian issues, from the sister of Pakistan, the sister of Trinidad, the sister that's also from Lebanon, Beirut, the brother that's from Chile, that's transgender from Chile, and then the other brother from the Netherlands, and then the other brother from Nigeria were on the panel. That was a very moving, exciting thing. Also, a very delicate thing that I saw firsthand down in Tijuana, Mexico, is on the deported veterans and stuff like that. That was really, really, really hard and stuff like that. And I ran into some other serious business that I couldn't attend, the premiere today of the 43 students and stuff like that. But I want to send out a shout-out to all our sisters out there, because today is Women's Equality Day. And 1 month from the year of the 43, on September 26th, will be a year on the Normalistas anniversary of being gone.
And, Manny, you forgot to give a shout-out to all the bitches. That way you get the Dog Awareness Day, too.
Yeah, it's dog day too, man. Manny, thank you, man, for bringing that up. We went down there, and I guess I'm gonna have to say it. I don't like telling people when I go down to Mexico, but we went down there, and we went and visited with these deported veterans, man. These guys went and they fought in the military, and then they get home and they get deported to Mexico. We're going to try to have a show on that on next Wednesday. Make sure you tune into that. We're going to have the guy that's running the program down in Tijuana on the show, hopefully, to talk about it. Keep an eye out for that. We're coming up to the end here. Thank you, DB. Manny, thanks for taking the time to call back in. Heidi, again, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Sorry we didn't get to too many calls tonight. Monday night, we're going to take a bunch of calls. Call back in. Check us out. The Anti-Media Radio is going on tomorrow night, same time, Friday night, same place, Monday through Friday.
Good night, Nick. Good night, TV. I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.